Kevin Foster, side one.
Right, good morning and welcome to the Imperial War Museum. Thanks very much indeed for giving up a Saturday to come along and have a word with us here about your varied experiences in the Royal Navy.
Yep. Royal Navy, Foreign Legion and the Royal Engineers. Yes.
Okay, I think the best thing to do is to just go over in rough terms what you were up to. And then we could go through it in detail bit by bit. So, when did you first, where did you were in the Navy, and when did you join that?
I joined the Navy April 1st, 1975. Mm-hmm. Then I went to HMS Raleigh.
Okay, and then how long did you spend in the Navy?
8.5 years.
So that brought us up until?
1983, October 83.
Okay. And then after that?
Then, on the 19th of October 83, I joined the French Foreign Legion.
Okay, and that, when that you were in there until?
I left there on the 22nd of October 1988.
Uh-huh, so you've done 5 years.
And then, May 1989,
uh-huh.
I joined the Royal Engineers.
Uh-huh.
And I left in October 31st, 1994.
Right. So that was only, well, comparatively speaking, a few months ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. So precisely 7 months ago you quit in the army, finished the army. Yeah. Okay. Whereabouts did you come from originally?
Newcastle upon Tyne.
Newcastle upon Tyne, right. And so you, what age were you when you joined the Navy?
16.
What, straight out of school?
Straight out of school. Right. I joined a week after I left school.
Really? And are you from a military family, would you say?
My father was in the Navy. Uh-huh. My mother was in the Navy.
Really?
My eldest brother's still in the Navy.
Right.
My sister was a naval nurse. And my other brother, he was in the Navy as well.
Right. So from a very staunch Navy family.
And one of my sisters married a soldier.
He left us
22 years.
Okay. And I mean, how long had you thought that that was the thing for you? I mean, had you thought of doing anything else?
No, not really. I think it was troubled into my mum, was all kids out the Navy.
Right. And if you hadn't done that, what do you think you might have done?
I really haven't got a clue. I never thought about it.
Okay, so where did you went to the recruiting office, presumably?
Yeah, I went to a gunner house in Newcastle upon Tyne.
Right.
That would have been the November 1974.
All right.
I did my tests then for the Navy. Mm-hmm. And by this time, I knew I wasn't going to take O-levels because I'd already been accepted by the Navy.
Right.
So I don't have to do O-levels or CSEs, anything like that. I went out the gunner house. I did my test then in 74.
Mm-hmm.
And then April 1st, 75 was when I wanted to join the Navy.
Right. So where did you go to after that? You went down to?
Tor Point, HMS Raleigh.
Yeah.
I did
Which is in?
Well, Plymouth.
Plymouth, yeah.
I did 6 weeks part one training. Well, 1 week new entry training. 6 weeks part one training, which was like basic drill, shooting, whatever. And I did my part two training, which was seamanship, mm-hmm. at HMS Raleigh also.
Mm-hmm.
And then I left there, and I went to HMS Dryde, Portsmouth.
Okay. Right. How did you find the training?
The training was fairly easy for me because seamanship-wise, I'd been in the sea cadets
for
a few years, and I was actually quite good at the seamanship part of it.
Right.
And I finished second top of the course.
Really?
The original start off was 28.
Yeah.
But we'll add PV on. You know, premature voluntary release. Throughout the training, we actually left with a course of 7.
Oh, really?
And we had to actually scrounge blokes from other classes to join up, to build our numbers up
really?
For the final parade, because there wasn't enough for a guard of honour.
Really? Okay. Why the others dipped out then?
Well, we had a lot of them didn't like it. The oldest one was 28 years old when he joined. And he was a lad from Wales, but he said he thought more of his mother and father than he did of the Royal Navy. Even though he was told, look, this isn't the Royal Navy, you're just doing the training bit. Wait till you get on the ship, then decide. But there was a lot of them like that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them couldn't do things like polish the boots, iron the uniforms, but it was just too much for them.
Really?
So a lot of them left on their reasons like that.
Mm. Were any been, you know, because they just weren't up to physical training?
I think there was a couple of them who weren't up the physical training standard, but they actually stayed. They didn't actually leave, they actually kept going and stayed on.
Right.
And it was the ones who actually, some of the fit ones who actually left because they didn't want to stay.
Okay. So, in fact, what did you think of... compared to the sea cadets, in fact, some people say it's a waste of time, but you in fact found that
we did a lot of
was of good practical help.
It was actually because we did a lot of where I lived in Newcastle. We used to do sail training at Ashington, or go down to Sunderland, and do sail training down there, or boat work on them places.
Mm.
So I learned a lot about rope work, splicing, things like that, and it was it really came in handy in the training part.
Okay, right, and so you went to. Tell me, what you went to HMS Dryad, which is at?
That's in Southwark, and near Cosham, and which is outside, about 8 miles from Portsmouth itself.
Right, and that's a land base, is it?
Yeah, it's the at the time I was there, it was HMS Dryad was the radar training school.
Right.
It's now called SMOPS, which is the School of Maritime Operations, where they do electronic warfare, radio, radar, and sonar, I think they do now as well.
Okay. So were you there to train?
I was there to do my Part 3 training, which was my subspecialty in the Navy, which was radar. I was a radar operator.
Okay. And how long did that last?
That was about 4 months for the course. But then I had to stay there for an extra month because I was waiting for my ship. I'd been drafted to HMS Blake, but I had to wait for the Blake getting back in again.
Right. And how many others were on your course?
Total of about 16 on the course.
Right. And how did these were from all over the country?
Yeah, that's right.
Did everybody get on well together? Or?
Yeah, we had no problems at all.
Yeah. Did the Geordies stick with the Geordies?
I think I was the only Geordie there, actually.
Right. How do they get on with the Londoners?
No, there's no problem at all. No friction.
Right. How did the real Navy, I mean, being in the Navy compared to what you thought it would be like if, you know, what you've been led to believe it might be like?
Well, by this stage, I was at HMS Dryad. We were still told, you're not really in the Navy.
Right.
Until you get on your first ship, then you'll see what it's like.
So what did you do for you hang around there for a month, effectively?
I was working in the stables.
Really?
And it was dry, and I actually had to look after Prince Charles's horse, or one of his horses.
Really?
I had the captain's horse. There was two captains of HMS Dryad.
Yes.
I had one of the captain's horses I had to look after, and then one of the horses belonged to Prince Charles. And when it came to my turn doing what was called duty groom, I had to be up first thing in the morning, go down there, get the captain's tack ready for his horse, saddle it up, ready for him to go on his little jolly in the morning. But I didn't have a clue to do it anyway. So the first morning he actually came down, he says, "Why isn't my horse ready?" And I said, "I don't know how to do it, sir." And he says, "All right, then, fair enough." So after that, he would just do it by himself when he came, if I was on duty. Whoever else was duty, they would get his horse ready for him. But if I was there, he'd do it by himself.
And the horses there, I mean, what are they for jollying about on this day, and for ceremonials?
Jollying around. When I was there, they just completed the indoor riding school.
Uh-huh.
They had a stable at one end of the camp, and over there, by the cricket pitch, they had an indoor riding school that had just finished. I actually helped finish it off with a big roller rolling all the sand flat on it. And then
how many horses did they have there?
I think they had a total of about eight horses.
Eight horses and a riding school.
Yeah, but yeah, I also had a few old nags that they would let out into the fields and for their kids to ride around on.
And who had access to these?
Anybody who wanted it.
Really, in the station.
Yeah, anybody. And also, you had the muddy quarters just outside. So, but there was also civvies living in the village, Civic Village, and they always loved to come in and go on the horse as well.
Okay. So then you then went to HMS Blake. Now, forgive me, I don't know what sort of a ship that is.
The Blake was a command helicopter cruiser.
Right.
It's one of the last of the old. There was two of them left in service, was the Blake and the Tiger.
Okay.
And they'd been converted from light cruisers.
Uh-huh.
and to command a helicopter cruisers. They had the 6-inch removed from the back end, and the 2 3-inch midships were taken off. They was replaced with Sea Cat, and on the back end they built a flight deck and a hangar to carry 4 Sea Kings.
4 Sea Kings, quite large. Yeah. How many could you get them Sea King?
I think the total of them was, because I remember they cut the numbers down because they had an accident over in them, and I think the maximum was about 16 you could have in them.
16 with kit?
I think this full kit was like Royal Marines. It would have been less. I think the number would have been about eight men.
That size, yeah. Okay, so pulled into port, you got your first ship.
Yeah.
And what happened after that?
I got the first ship. I was put in the juniors mess because of my age. And was sailed within the week of me joining it. And we went up the Arctic for 4 weeks on an excise. Mm-hmm. Excise was in Safari, 1975 it was. And then we did...
Drew up to what, Norway? Or?
This was just around the Arctic Circle.
Oh, really?
We did an area around there. Mm. We actually, the excise was stopped about halfway through because we got hit by a tidal wave.
Really?
Great big monstrosity it was. There was we was the lead ship, but the minesweepers up ahead. The minesweepers were... three minesweepers had to turn around and go back because they were that badly smashed up when the wave hit them.
And this was, I mean, you say the Arctic Circle, but where roughly was it? I mean, between Greenland and...
Oh, I haven't got a clue what it was.
Really?
At the time when it happened, I was on the upper deck. I was a life helicopter lookout. It was
so
one
you
of the...
You were exposed, you weren't below deck.
Yeah, I was on the upper deck.
So tell me about that.
What had happened was we had two of the helicopters flying. And when you had a helicopter flying, you had to have a helicopter lookout on the upper deck. And you stood on the GDP, the gun direction platform, right at the top. And I wasn't allowed to leave until the last helicopter had landed and was in the hangar.
Is that up a gantry on a mast thing?
Up by, right at the top above the bridge roof.
All right, so it's on a sort of mast gantry type.
Yeah, that's the one,
yeah.
So I was up there, and he only given us a pair of headphones.
Yeah.
And you called out the ops room every so often, the bearing of the helicopter from the ship, and you can give a rough estimate of how far away it is, which I actually got quite good at. I got a spot onto them.
Really?
I actually spent more time up there than anybody else because I was only a junior seaman.
All right.
And it was the newest member of the ops room always got spammed to go up there and be helicopter lookout because it was always cold. But when the tidal wave hit with...
So what time of day was that then?
It was night time. Right. During the night. I remember it was pitch black because at one time I was looking above and the wave was right above the ship. And then the next thing I was looking down over the side and I could see the waves right down below. And by this time I was totally drenched and we still had one helicopter out. So as the helicopter came in, normally it comes in sideways to the ship, lands on the flight deck and the crews pull it in. But this time he just comes straight in through the back, banged onto the deck and the crews got onto it and dragged it straight into the hangar. And then I was told, right, fall out from,
you're standing there, did it make a noise, or what happened with this tidal wave?
It was a hell of a racket, a big roaring noise when it smashed onto the ship. Actually,
were you nearly knocked out, or not?
I was actually jumped behind the part of the platform. You got a, inside, right beside the funnel it was, and inside you had it's like a sort of control room for the directors. So I actually jumped behind that out the way of it. I couldn't get the door open in time. I got wet, but I wasn't as bad as I would have been.
Yeah.
And I'd actually hooked myself on with the harness onto the side, so I wouldn't get knocked over the side.
Really?
But when we actually look at the damage the next day in the daylight...
What had happened?
Well, we actually had two sea boats, two whalers, either side of the ship. They'd been completely ripped off the side of the ship.
Two boats?
Two boats. There was
just gone?
Yep. There was just two bits of wood hanging off the davits.
Right.
What was left of the boats. And every single life raft that we actually had on board, the pods, they'd been ripped off the side and disappeared as well.
Yeah.
And we had metal lockers on the decks, what we'll call wash deck lockers.
Yes.
Now these used to hold brooms and things for the lads cleaning up the decks down. And these were big, big steel things bolted to the decks, and they'd been completely ripped off the decks as well and thrown over the side. But the actual minesweepers who were there, their bridge roofs were crashed in because they're only the old wooden type ones. And when the wave hit them, the bridge roof from the deck was about 3 foot from the deck. So they get back, they're sort of squatting down inside the bridge so they could see out to get them. And then they actually went into Oban in Scotland. to do emergency repairs. Mm. And that was basically end of the exercise for them.
Mm. Were there any injuries on board, knocks?
There wasn't any actually injuries on our ship. Mm. I did get thrown around a bit. Mm. But on the Blake, you see, when they designed it, with the hanger on the back, it was top-heavy at both ends. So in rough weather, what would happen, it would break its back.
Yes.
If it was so bad.
Yes.
So they actually split the ship in two parts. One behind the superstructure on the front end, and it was split across the deck behind the hangar. So in rough weather, the ship would bend, and the two decks would cross over in rough weather, and that would stop it from snapping its back and sinking.
Right, so really, you know how it's constructed?
The only way they could get around it.
Right. Okay, so that was your first exercise, was it?
That was my first ever exercise in the Navy.
So, what, were you sure you were still in the right job?
Well, actually, during basic training, I didn't want to do radar. I wanted to do sonar.
Uh-huh.
And I'd asked during training, radar training, if I could transfer to the sonar. This was before to actually start the training. And they says, no, we have to get, you have to do the radar training, and then we'll give you an evaluation afterwards. Mm-hmm. And then you can apply again to change. So as soon as I finished the course, I applied again, transfer to sonar. And they said, well, we can't do that now after you pass your training. So you have to go on your first ship. Mm-hmm. And once you get your first ship, you can ask there. So when I got onto the Blake, I said, I don't want to do radar. I think it's a boring job. I want to do sonar. And I said, well, you have to be on the ship 18 months before we can let your branch change. And after this, I thought, well, that's it. They're not going to let us go. Mm. So that was it. I was really stuck there then, yeah, as a radar operator.
So how long did you remain on the Blake?
I was on the Blake from October 75 until September 1977.
Right.
And then I was drafted.
Just roughly 2 years.
Yeah. Roughly 2 years.
And where else did you go in that, and what other main events were there?
There wasn't a great deal. Yeah. I went to Reefort for 9 months, from 76 to 77. So that was just stuck in Portsmouth Harbour.
You just stuck in Portsmouth Harbour?
Yeah, in the dry dock for 9 months, Reefort.
And what did you do then? I mean,
just a lot of time spent chipping the old paint off the ship.
Right.
Once it was all chipped out to bare metal, red lead it. And then it was towards the end, repainted again.
Mm. And you were in the dockyards doing this chipping away?
Yeah.
In the dry dock?
In the dry dock.
And where did you stay?
We actually live in Nelson Barracks.
Nelson Barracks.
Nelson Barracks, yeah. In Portsmouth.
Yeah.
And we'd just walk into the dockyard every morning, mm, onto the ship, and then finish at the night time, unless you were duty, and you went straight back in the barracks again.
Right. Well, that was easy, was it?
It was a bit of a... Well, see, on a ship you don't pay food and accommodation. Nelson Barracks, we had to pay food and accommodation. Nobody really liked it. Also, a lot of the places that were staying in Nelson Barracks, because of the size of the ship's company, you had something 900 blocks in the Blake. You had new accommodation blocks there, but we got all the old stuff. Really bad it was. And there was not a great deal happened. Christmas Day, 76. The Christmas lunch consisted of fish fingers, tomatoes and mashed potato. And it was the old Meals on Wheels, and that's what we actually got for Christmas lunch.
Really?
It was disgraceful.
Mm. Why was it? I thought normally that...
Well, we were expecting something decent, but the cooks up at Ace Nelson obviously had a sense of humour. And they decided to just put whatever they wanted in these little silver trays. It's the same type of trays that you get from the Chinese, yeah, restaurants. Mm. And that's what we got inside of them.
But I mean, you get the films of the officers coming around and surfing.
Well, during the refit, there was nobody living on board the ship, apart from the duty watch.
Right.
And then, actually, it improved after that, because they actually got a mobile cookhouse on the jetty, not far from the ship. So instead of having to go up to barracks, we actually went to this small one on the jetty, where we were all cooks, and we actually got decent food for a change.
What did anything happen to the cooks after this at all?
Well, we complained about it, and we was told that they got a near bend and a half, but we don't know exactly what had happened about
right.
us.
Okay. 900 blokes onto 12 cooks.
Actually, there's a fair amount of cooks in Nelson Barracks, because it's a fair sized place. Oops.
Yeah.
But once we've got our own cooks working on the jetty,
okay,
that improved. Plus, there's a little bar on the jetty as well.
Alright. Okay. So, and you just went out in Portsmouth in the evening, or stayed in?
That's it, yeah.
Might be.
Stayed in, well.
And Were you allowed home at weekends from what you're saying now?
Yeah, we've got weekend duties off.
Right.
Oh, if you were on duty the weekends. A lot of the lads, what you used to do is put yourself in a syndicate of different duties, because you had six duty watches. So you take one man from each duty watch. And when it comes to somebody who had a Saturday and Sunday, whoever had the Friday, he would the Saturday and Sunday duty man would automatically do the Friday for him.
Okay.
So you're guaranteed at least five weekends off out of every six.
Okay. 5 weekends off out of every six?
Out of every six.
Right. So you went back home, did you? Or?
I'd sometimes go up to Newcastle. Other times I'd go to a mate's house, whatever.
Sure. So you finished with Blake in 77, you said?
77.
77. So what did you do after that?
I went on leave for a month, and then I came back and I joined HMS Intrepid.
Okay. And where did you go for leave? Anything special?
I just went home to Newcastle.
Uh-huh. Were your parents glad, you're proud, Navy, family footsteps?
I wasn't so much proud of it in all this.
Yeah.
Because I remember my dad would say, oh, you're back on leave again, son, and all this, like, and come on, I'll take you for a pint, and eventually got the stage where it was, I hope you brought some money with you this time, because I saw I was going to be skint and butter. I think the only thing he looked forward to was when I used to bring the duty-free cigarettes home with us.
Right. Okay. What was the pay? How was the pay? I mean, was any...
The pay at the time, well, I remember when my first pay packet in the Navy, because I joined April 1st, is when they got the pay rise for the forces. And I was on £21.21 a fortnight. And then a few weeks later, when the pay rise come through, I got 79 pence pay rise, so I got a straight 22 quid a fortnight. But on the ship, it went up to about £34, I think it was, a fortnight. And then when I got made ordinary seaman, when I reached 17 and a half, I went up to about £45 a fortnight.
So, okay, 45, 90. Okay, right. So, it's 90, was that only about a grand a year or something?
If that, I suppose, yeah.
Really? And that was before stoppages or after stoppages?
That's what you got in your hand.
That's,
yeah.
Right. So you went on to HMS Intrepid, which is, was?
It was the commando carrier.
Right.
For the Royal Marines, whatever.
A more modern one. It's an amphibious carrier.
Amphibious carrier, yeah.
Right. So, you joined the ship, and where did you go? What did you do?
I joined the ship, and it was in refit. I just started an 8-month refit.
So, you're on HMS Intrepid, so where did you go? What did you get up to?
I didn't do nothing on the Intrepid. I joined it, and it just started another 8-month refit.
In where?
In Portsmouth, in the dry dock that we just left on the Blake. And I was on the first day on board the ship. I was what was called forward brow sentry. Yeah, the gangway down aft and one up forward. And this three-ring commander came on board the ship. And then he says, I haven't seen you before, who are you? And I says, well, I'm Abel Seaman Foster, sir, I've just joined. And he says, are you glad to join the ship? And I says, no, sir, I'm not. I says, I've just done 9-month refit on the Blake. And I've got 8-month refit on this, and I don't want it. And then within an hour, I was called up to the regulating office, which is like the police. And I got an ear rolling off the regulating petty officer. He says, if you've got a problem, you don't cry over the captain. You come and see me about it. He says, fill this in, you're going. So I got a draft and preference chit. And this is, where do you want to go to? And I says, well, I'll go for the Newcastle or the Glasgow, because they were both being built in the time by this time. So within a month of joining the Intrepid, I was posted off. I was also given a 7 days punishment as a leaving president.
Really? What do you have to do for that?
I was doing what was called number 9 punishment at the time, which consisted of working in your spare time, praying at certain times, and then basically getting mucked about a lot.
Fatigues.
Yeah. So when I left the Intrepid, I was drafted to HMS Excellent, Whale Island and Portsmouth.
Okay.
And actually joined it under punishment.
Right. So you're on the same. You were still in basically. You were still in Nelson Barracks in Portsmouth, were you, for the Intrepid?
That's right. Yeah.
Okay, for the short time that you were there. And then you joined again?
HMS Excellent. I went to, because the Newcastle was being built.
Yeah. And what type of ship's that?
Excellent, shore base. It's an island,
right.
Whale Island.
Okay, and what's...
It's a gunnery school.
All right.
But the reason we were there was because they were getting the crew together for HMS Newcastle.
Right.
And that's where they kept going until we joined the ship.
Okay, so how long did you spend there?
I only spent there a couple of weeks. And then I went up to Newcastle itself to join the ship, and it was 1977. It was the time of the fireman strike.
Yes.
So we had to go up there firefighting up in Swanhunter's dockyard.
So, how many weeks did you spend at the gunnery school?
About 2 weeks.
Only 2 weeks. Then you're up to Newcastle.
Yeah.
Where do you stay in Newcastle?
We stayed in lodgings in Whitley Bay.
All right, and you're billeted basically.
Yeah, but it was we all lived in guest houses.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, you visited into the town, yeah.
Yeah.
And you were the firefighting team, were you?
We had different ones. We had some of them were actually doing firefighting with the Green Goddesses.
Yes.
And then I started off with them. And then I was taken off that job, and I was put on the Swanhunter's dockyard, and we did firefighting on the ships. The Cardiff was being built, the Glasgow, and the Newcastle were all up there. So we did the firefighting for 77.
Okay, and. Did you have many fires, or...?
We had quite a few.
When
I was... We didn't have any in the dockyard, but before
the
that...
The actual proverbial fire station was at the dockyard, was it?
No, we'd go into these... into a building, into the basement of a building, and we stayed there for the night.
And that with the Green Goddess?
No, we didn't... In the dockyard, we didn't have a Green Goddess.
All right.
The Green Goddesses were run from different parts, aren't they?
What sort of fire tender did you have, or firefighting equipment did you have?
It was just the old Green Goddess with the hoses. That's all
you
we had.
Used?
That's what we used, yeah.
You yourself?
When I first went to the firefighting bit,
yeah.
I was actually on the streets.
Right.
With the crews.
Right.
And then we changed from the crews on the streets and went in the dockyard.
To firefight
in the dockyard.
If there were any fires.
Yeah.
Were there any fires in the dockyard?
No, none at all. No.
How long were you doing the firefighting?
I think it was, I was there until the end of the fireman's strike.
So that was, what, 6 or 8 weeks, was it?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, or more. And with how many fires, could you describe the fires that you attended?
Well, we fought one fire, it was in a factory up in Newcastle, mm. And that was going for 3 days. And while we were trying to put the fire out, I remember one time, there was a couple of blokes standing, I said, look lads, get out of the way, will you please? And when I looked at them, they were wearing firemen's uniforms, they were actually firemen standing there watching me. And I wouldn't even give her any advice, or give her a helping hand or anything like that.
Really? Were they saying getting out, they told you to get out of the way?
No, I told them to get out of the way.
All right.
So I was trying to get some hoses reeled out.
Yeah.
And then I said, well, I was standing with another lad, and I said, well, are you going to help me? Are you going to tell me what to do? And they said, it's nothing to do with those lads. It's your job. And they wouldn't even give her a bit of advice. But I know one thing, the anti-flash that they use in the Royal Navy does actually work, the anti-flash hoods and gloves, because a blast went off in my face from a burst pipe, and I had a big red circle apart
really?
On the burn on my face.
That was a pipe of what?
It was a gas pipe that was by the factory.
Really?
And exploded beside me.
Really?
And those two had a big red faces off the blast.
Really?
Don't grow eyebrows off, but the actual flash hoods and gloves did work.
Really?
And it stopped you getting burned.
Did you receive special firefighting training, or...?
In the Navy, you actually do a
firefighting
course.
Yeah.
Now, when I was on the Blake, I had a ship's fire brigade course, which lasts a couple of weeks, so they actually do good training.
Firefighting is part of basic training in the Navy.
It is, yeah.
And you did a further course.
Yeah, we did a further course. Mm.
Did they give you refresher training for the Green Goddess bit?
Nope.
No, straight on.
Straight onto it.
Right.
The only people who had training was the drivers.
To vehicle driving.
Yeah, and to work the pumps and things like that.
Which other fires did you attend?
We did a couple of small house fires in the main factory one, that was it. Because by the time I got there, they were changing the crews round to go into the dockyard. So I did a couple of days, I think it was about 5 days on the streets. And that was like 24 hours on firefighting, 24 off. 24 and so on. Mm. So I ended up about 3 or 4 days total firefighting and then moved into Swanhunter's dockyard.
Right. I mean, people used to say that, I mean, if there was a factory or a warehouse or a shop caught fire, there was certain opportunities for booty.
Oh, yeah.
At that time, as
a... Now, we had a story about an RAF crew up there.
Yeah.
And they'd, there was a house next to an off-licence. But they knocked the wall down from the house when they were firefighting and then started pinching the booze from the off-license next door.
Okay. But what did you feel about that, about the fireman strike and the firemen? I mean, that, you know, there's...
Well, at that time when we first went up there, a lot of the blokes had a lot of sympathy for the firemen wanting the pay rise and all this. But after hearing what they said, you know, they wouldn't even give it a bit of advice. Mm. And I thought, well, sod yous.
Mm. And how long? Okay, let's just change. So.